Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mark.
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Hanging in there.
Oh, we're doing fine. We're waiting for sports to get going.
We're
very worked up. Yeah, I'm sure. So, Mark, you know, we are clinging to the things that we can talk about, and one of them, of course, is the Bulls' search for a new decision maker in their front office. And, you know, the rumor was that you were top of their list. Have they talked to you? Are you interested in doing that? We've seen other colleagues take that jump.
Yeah, I mean, I've got great respect for Michael and Jerry. And you know, I talk to those guys all the time, especially Michael. But, I've got a business that I love doing what I do. And I've got a lot of partners and teammates that, you know, count on me and certainly players that we've been fortunate enough to have chosen us to represent them. And so there's a lot of responsibility with that and a lot of obligation. And that's just not something that I really felt comfortable, you know, walking away from at all. So the Bulls, they're going to get somebody really, really good. There's no doubt in my mind. They're going to do an exhaustive search and talk to a lot of people. And it's flattering to be mentioned those conversations. But, you know, for me, like I said, we've got something that, got to take care of every day, especially during these times. And so I'm staying right where I'm at.
Mark, before we get into some of those specific candidates who you have some background with and know pretty well just from dealing with these guys on a regular basis, the question I think we've been talking about some this week is how good of a job it is. I mean, with the Bulls, obviously they've gone through a really rough patch, a tough period here, and they've had some players regress and some factors that have kept free agents away for whatever reason. But when you look around the league, when executives weigh the possibility of working in Chicago, how good of a job is it to be the chief decision maker of the Chicago Bulls?
Well, I think it's one of the elite jobs in professional sports, you know, and I've had a lot of people around the league that have called me to kind of get my opinion and ask questions. And that's the answer I've given to a lot of the candidates that are you know, going to be talking with Michael and Jerry. I think that, you know, listen, first of all, it's Chicago. I mean, there's no better sports town in the world than Chicago. You guys obviously know that. We've seen what the United Center is like when the Bulls are rolling and the way this town gets behind the team. They're thirsting for the Bulls to get back to that level, you know, and they've got a lot of really good young pieces. There's been a bunch of injuries. They've kind of held some of these guys back. I think if they get healthy, I think they've got a nucleus of some really good young players. And so I think it's a spectacular opportunity for somebody without any question. And I don't think they'll have a boatload of candidates that will be interested, and they'll go through, I'm sure, a very thorough search and figure it out. But there's no shortage of people that would want this job. You know, if you want to put yourself in a position to, you know, be in a high level, competitive environment where you're going to have all the resources to try and win. I mean, I think the one thing the Reinsdorfs have shown over the years that, you know, when they think there's an opportunity to go compete for championship, they'll go spend the money to do it. And there's no doubt in my mind they will. And so I think it's a really terrific opportunity for somebody.
You know, Mark, when we talk about the opportunity, you got to look at the roster as it is currently constructed. And obviously there's changes to be made and things to do, but there's also, you know, a lot of young players that they've put together here, and you start talking about player development and all that stuff. if you're coming into a job like this, and generally speaking, when you've seen various people come into these jobs, how much change comes with them? How much of a group do you bring with you? And does it vary from job to job, or is it more about the individual taking that job?
You know, I think for the most part, you know, it's on the individual they bring in. I mean, if you look at what generally happens when someone comes in, they've got relationships they've built over the years throughout the league, people they trust, people they've worked with, and they're going to probably want to surround themselves with those individuals. But there's also times you come in and you retain the staff, some of the staff or members of the staff you already have relationships with because you have great respect for them also. So it's, you know, it's all on whoever they hire and what they're most comfortable doing. And then you put together the very best team that you can surrounding yourself so that you've got every box checked, what you have to do to build a long sustained success with the franchise.
So Mark, the two candidates we know the Bulls are planning to interview this week, one has already taken place and one is on the schedule. Justin Zanuck from the Jazz and Arturas Kournisovas from the Nuggets. Justin Zanuck used to work for you, and I think he even coached your son, if I remember correctly, if I read that correctly, a Northwestern grad who back in the day coached your son in basketball. What kind of insight can you lend to both candidates and how equipped they would be if they were to get this job?
Well, they're both equipped. There's no question. They come from very successful franchises, teams that have really kind of built their roster through the draft and with, you know, acquiring young players either through free agency or the trade. So I think they've built their rosters the right way. They've been patient in how they've gone about doing it and done a really good job, you know, with their coaching staffs in terms of developing players. So they both are terrific, you know, different personalities. Obviously, I've known Justin for a long time, and he certainly has paid his dues in the business and worked his way through some different organizations and done a really good job with the Jazz. And Arturas, you know, there's no question. I mean, what the Nuggets have done, the level of talent that they've put on that team, and not just talent, but really young talent, they're going to be good for a long, long time. So both those guys, I mean, those are two candidates that, without question, should be on the list. And it shows that, you know, that the Bulls are doing their due diligence and that those are guys that they're going to talk to. So, you know, I got nothing good thing to say about both of them. They both work extremely hard. They're kind of married to the business. And, you know, I'm sure there'll be other guys that the Rangers will sit down and visit with, but those are two candidates for sure.
When you're putting together a list, I think that, you know, Mark, being in Chicago, you understand that fans look at it and say, like, okay, who's the Theo Epstein? How do you go out and get the best guy because he can win a championship? We saw it happen. Is that an unrealistic way of looking at it? Is it different in the NBA when you're talking about giving up a draft pick or whatever it might be, overpaying for someone, as opposed to finding someone who can grow in the job along with you?
Yeah, that's always the most difficult thing, I think, when you're going through this process and deciding, you know, who you want to lead your franchise, because, you know, you can't ever get to that position if someone doesn't give you the opportunity to do it. So, you know, there's a huge jump from being, you know, the number two or number three guy to being the number one guy in an organization, but there's no way to know if you can do it until someone gives you the opportunity. And there's a lot of history in all four major sports where someone was given that opportunity and thrived and never looked back, you know, but someone had to be the first team to give them that opportunity. Then there's also obviously the route of hiring someone who's been in that seat and trying to get them. The problem with that is, you know, if someone's doing a really good job, in leading a franchise and has a proven track record, you know, that owner of that franchise is not very likely to give him up, you know, even for a draft pick. That was a unique situation, I think, with Theo, with the timing of it all, the way it played out. So I think it's hard to get someone who's currently leading a franchise and having great success, because that owner really doesn't want to let him go. And there's a number of situations, I think, even with number two guys that are, you know, work in a real collaborative manner with the president of the team, where sometimes the ownership won't want to let that young talent leave because maybe they're grooming him to be the next one to take over. So it's not so easy just to go out and get people, because You know, if you're in a spot where they really value, they're not going to let you just walk out the door. And sometimes guys are really happy in the roles that they're in, the space that they're living in. So it's not as easy as just having a wish list and getting guys. You have to go through the process and find the perfect fit.
Mark, there are a lot of issues around the league since the hiatus March 11th and when and if the league returns to play this season, whether it's the remainder of the regular season or just the playoffs or at all. And I know that there was a conference call yesterday with agents and then NBA Players Association, and one of the issues was about refunding upfront payments and things of that nature. Where does that stand, and what is a reasonable expectation moving forward in terms of, you know, what to the money that is at risk here?
Yeah, well, there is a lot of money at risk. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, everyone in our society has got the same issues. So, you know, nobody going to feel sorry for professional athletes because everybody's being affected by this at an extreme level. But, you know, certainly for the athletes, it's a short window in their career, and to potentially lose a big chunk of a year, has an effect. But I think what's really happening right now in terms of with the league and the player association is just if the league would cancel the season and really claim force majeure, which is a clause in the collective bargaining agreement, which allows them to claw back, you know, at this point about 25% of players' salaries for the season. They just want to have a mechanism to have that money sort of in place so that the players don't go into a situation where the checks just completely get cut off and there's no cash flow coming in. So the question is, do you wait to see if the season is going to get canceled and then make a decision at that point, or do you start preparing for that now and sort of put the money aside, put it into an escrow account so that there's, you know, an even cash flow coming throughout the year until the next payment schedule started up for the 2021 season. So that's all that's being discussed. It's very complicated, and we're just trying to come up with something that works for everybody. I think the goal is we're hoping and praying that we can get back to playing in some form. And, you know, I know that from talking with the league office, which I've done quite a bit, it's you know, they have so many different models laid out as to which way this thing could go. I mean, they've got hundreds of different models, and it all really depends on how the virus gets contained and you know, what happens and what the government says in terms of getting back to some sort of normalcy and people getting back into, you know, kind of the economy and society. So I think right now they're going to be patient. I think they could start the season as late as even, you know, the end of June, maybe even beginning of July, and go throughout the summer and try to get in as many regular season games and certainly the playoffs. But all that is, you know, as you know, right now, the news cycle every day is like a month worth of news. And so things change every single day. But I think, you know, over the next 2-3 weeks, I think a lot more will come to the forefront, and then we'll have a better idea if there's a realistic chance to get back to play or not.
Mark, can you tell us about your experience watching this pandemic unfold? You obviously have players in many different continents, even the Chinese Basketball League, and you kind of saw this, not necessarily saw it coming to the extent it is, but you probably heard about it a lot earlier than some of us.
Yeah, well, we've got, you know, obviously we have a number of players in the NBA. We've got about 40 players, 45 players in the NBA, but we've got players in China and all over Europe. And so we've got five players playing in China. And so when this thing first happened, we were kind of right on the front lines of it. And we saw very quickly, you know, how serious it got there. And so we had to get the players out of China and get them home, you know, get them home safely and work out that logistically, and they were closing the airports and shutting down the flights, as you know. And so as we saw what unfolded in China and the way that economy got shut down, and when they shut down, you know, even before they shut the economy down, they shut down the Chinese Basketball League. At that point, you know, obviously our antennas were up, my goodness, if this thing gets over here, we got a problem. And then as it went into Europe, where we have a number of players playing all over Europe, and the same thing happened there with, you know, kind of league by league, those countries shut down. At that point, I knew it was just a matter of time. And we had actually been telling our players a couple of weeks before the league shut down, like, be prepared, this thing's coming. You know, best case, you're going to play without fans. And worst case, this thing's going to get completely shut down. And so it wasn't really a surprise at that point when it happened. And it's just, did I think it would ever get to where we are today? No. I mean, this is unprecedented, and it's, you wake up every day and you just keep hoping you're kind of living a nightmare. But hopefully we'll turn this thing pretty soon. So we'll see what happens here. But it's been a huge undertaking just for us, just getting all the guys home and logistically getting them on flights and getting them out of countries where the airports are being shut down and travel was difficult. But thank God everybody is back, and they're all in the same boat now, waiting to see how this thing passes.
Mark, thanks a ton. Really appreciate all the insight. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Mark.
All right, guys. Always good talking to you. Take care now, okay?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.